Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We now go to the Wayback Machine. Sherman, time to bring back a familiar voice that America loves, can't get enough of, but then transition to management.
Jury's still out on all of that.
Thought it was a great introduction.
I'm not saying the introduction wasn't outstanding. I'm just saying, you know, I may not be overly accurate, but I appreciate it.
Now, we always do in this spot the Matt Cotrillo rant of the day. We usually refer to it as the Bitterness Cafe. You invented the
I invented bitterness.
Concept.
That's right.
You invented the concept. So what has you upset today?
Nothing. There is absolutely nothing that has me upset, disappointed, depressed, anything. Because this weekend is the start of the IndyCar season in St. Pete. I'm good. I've been watching NASCAR the last couple of weeks and wanted to see if they could finish the last 20 laps without wrecking each other. They couldn't, especially in the 500. So now I'm on to a sport that, in racing, that I really like, that if you touch wheels, somebody goes flying. That's where rubbing ain't racing. There, that's the closest thing I can get to a rant. How's that? Kind of developed into one, didn't it?
Yes, it did. You've had those kind of moments.
I do have a really good idea for you, though. I have an idea to spice up the USFL. See, I think there's one problem with the... I don't mind football in the spring. All right, I'll watch it. I just can't get into it. Like, I watched a little bit of the XFL the last couple of weekends. I'm like, you know, it's not bad football. It's just there's something missing. And I think I figured out what it is. I don't have any stake in the game. Like, my team's not there. I haven't developed a team to follow in either one of these leagues. So what if you made the USFL kind of like the practice squad team from your favorite team? These are guys that were almost ready to make the squad, make the team. It's kind of like watching AAA baseball. Then maybe there's something to look for. It's like, oh, this guy might be playing for my team in a couple of weeks or a couple of years, months.
Sure.
Remember the World League when they used to have the sticker on the back of the helmet of the team that this particular player got allocated from? I mean, you could see then, oh, hey, you know, I should watch this team. I should watch Frankfurt because there's a couple of guys on there that are going to be on the Steelers teams.
Well, this is not a foreign concept because the old Atlantic Coast Football League, which had the Pottstown Firebirds in it, had the Hartford Knights, the Norfolk Neptunes, Toronto had a team, Bridgeport had a team. All right, they had affiliations with NFL teams. And it didn't really mean much in terms of guys getting to the next level. For example, Hartford was with the Buffalo Bills. And it turned out that the top guy on that team was a guy named Marv Hubbard. And he ended up going to the NFL, but now with the Bills, he ended up with the Raiders where he ran for 1,000 yards. So, you know, they've done the concept before. But they, you know, and the Potsdam Firebirds were obviously with the Philadelphia Eagles. But, geez.
I just thought as I was watching this, you know, I don't know, unless they make mention of it, I don't know any of these guys by name or who they're going to be, or, you know, who they played for last year or, you know, who they worked out with or whatever. But, you know, if you could allocate players, like from a practice squad or, like, you know, whatever, you know, make these teams like a farm club like they do in baseball, you know, then that might create some interest. Because you don't go to Iron Pigs or Rail Riders game just to watch baseball. You go to watch guys that you think are going to be coming up with your team.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. I mean, but I said, my point is they tried.
Yeah.
It's not a foreign concept that's been tried before.
No.
They just can't. And not only was it was tried in the fall.
Oh, boy. See, I don't know if that would work at all.
Well, no, I'm just saying that's when it was tried.
No, I realize that. But I could see why that wouldn't work. I mean, and now, now it would be worse than what it was then.
Yeah. When your concept of your league is a T-shirt that says 54 on it, which means you're the 54th player.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's what it means.
I got where you're going with that now.
53-man rosters.
Right.
That's not exactly what you would call enticing to the fans. Oh, good. We get to watch. I mean, people aren't watching NFL preseason games now because they've got a bunch of guys out there that nobody knows. I mean, because the ratings on preseason NFL that's gone down. And the big reason it's gone down is they aren't playing their guys.
No.
And that's what people want to see. Now, it's the preseason, but, you know, I understand. You know, I mean, I get it.
Like spring training baseball. At least you're seeing the guys that they're going to be playing, you know, in April, May, and June.
Yeah. Yes, some spring training baseball. I mean, it depends on the game and what day they want to do things. Like the Red Sox played the Phillies yesterday. I would say a third of the Phillies lineup was out there. And the Red Sox put their lineup out there. Like it was the day
the score looked like that, too.
But I'm just saying, but there was a day where they said, okay, we're going to put our lineup out there today.
Was that 15-3? Was that the score? Yeah.
Oof. Yes, it was.
Oof.
Now, there'll be a day where they'll put out some, you know, it'll be a mixture of Worcester and Portland against the Phillies who are putting out their Schwarber and, you know, and start going through all the, you know, the guys the Phillies can put out there. You know, I mean, Trey Turner did not play yesterday, for example. They went with, they go with yesterday at shortstop.
I didn't see the lineup. I just saw the score.
No, we mentioned because he homered in the game. He got mentioned on the show yesterday. So, but yeah, so you don't know what you're going to. But see, one thing about spring training, you kind of go out there with the idea like I'm hoping to see these guys. You're also going there thinking I don't know how many of these guys are going to see. I hope we get to see the good guys. All right, then you go in there and go, hey, we did okay today. You know, it's the way it is. But, yeah. Okay. Yesterday was the max out day for Penn State football. Most of it. Most of the guys did get their max outs in yesterday. A couple of do their max outs today. That's fine. because you can't fit everybody in the period of time. But most of them were done yesterday. One thing that you'll notice about that, that I think is a great element of sports, if you're developing your culture correctly, and culture is an overused word, in especially in college sports these days, but it's one of those that when you see it, you know it. You don't have to say you have great culture. When you see it, you know it. And one of them is the camaraderie that you see on a team. And the camaraderie on a team shows up in the ability of everybody to root for everybody. And that showed up yesterday in the max out. Now, the other time I can tell you where it really shows up to the average fan is when you see the videos put out of the walk-on who gets a scholarship. When you've watched those, what do you always notice? How excited the, quote, scholarship players are for the walk-on that gets the scholarship. I mean, like, really excited for the walk-on that gets the scholarship. See how jumping up and down, the hugging, the yelling, the screaming? Well, that's what you saw yesterday at the max out. That gave everybody the opportunity to take a peek inside what the internal culture is. So it's not just everybody rallying around because Denai Dennis Sutton is going to do his max out. Well, okay, he did his. And then also you see Bo Perbula do his. Right? And you see Curtis Jacobs do his. And then and everybody goes around for the max out. Everybody, all right. And then Tyler Holsworth does his. And everybody is around him. Right? Pushing and rooting him on. Tyler Holsworth is a walk-on from Milford, New Jersey. And he is invaluable in the Penn State football culture. He is a running back that busts his backside, has a lot of natural talent. If he's not at Penn State and his, and I had a long talk with Tyler about this, so I can get into some of this a little bit. But he's always been a Penn State fan. He's a lifelong man. He wants to be here. He could have gone other places, and I've talked to him about that. But he wants to be here. And he is one of those that in every drill busts his backside. You put him on scout team, he does everything he can to give a great look. And he is deeply appreciated by every player on the team, just like Tyler Holsworth deeply appreciates Nick Singleton, Catrine Allen, Curtis Jacobs, Keaton Ellis, whomever it may be. And so when he went, everybody gathered around and they were giving the same energy as they would if Nick Singleton were out there doing it. And that's what that tells you about the closeness, the tightness, the camaraderie, the brotherhood of a team when you see that. And I'm glad that everybody had a chance to see that yesterday because the media was invited to take a look at it. And there's been a lot of interviews, a lot of social media put out about it, social media videos. And you had a chance to see it. That's when you know, at least to me, one of the signs that you have a really, quote, great culture. Now, I see it in other points, too, obviously, because I get a chance to see today was the last winter workout. The last of eight was this morning. So I went to half of them. I went to four of them. And you see it there as well. Because it's a long season. You have to have, you're allowed to have 15 spring practices over 34 days. That'll start on Tuesday the 14th after they get back from spring break. And then you have more off-season workouts, 7-on-7s, players organizing it. Then you're going to get to training camp. It's a long year. And if you don't have a great culture and you don't have the camaraderie that goes from highly competitive, drills are highly competitive, winter workouts are highly competitive, but at the same time, when it's over, you're rooting for the other guy that's with you. Tells you a lot. It's also this time of the year where leadership shows up. The late Joe Garagiola, who for the younger generation was a catcher with the St. Louis Cardinals, a little bit with the Pirates, most of the St. Louis Cardinals, grew up in St. Louis with the legendary Yogi Berra up on the hill in St. Louis, became an outstanding baseball broadcaster. He used to refer, when it came to leadership, he said there's a big difference between a leader and a holler guy. So the holler guy was always like, come on, everybody, let's go, 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 but then never backed it up with any action of their own. Real leaders have a base of foundation in action, and then when they speak, everybody perks up and says, okay, what did Jair Brown just say? I better do it. What did P.J. Mustipher just say? I better do it. What did you Scruggs just say? I better do it. What did Sean Clifford just say? I better do it. Because they always backed up their words by performance and action. And that's what you need in leadership. Okay? There's a holler guy and there are leaders. And it's this time of the year where you start to really cement your leadership moving forward, which then translates into what you do in spring practice to then set the tone for the upcoming season. We'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
And we'll talk about that and Sunday's game in the next half hour as Penn State plays Maryland. In look, when you talk about big games, well, for Penn State basketball, Sunday is a big game. We will talk about that in the next half hour. Plus, more ramblings from the suit as we circle his personal fogged-in airport.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. It is all at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street and Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. We now return to the airplane as they circle the fogged in airport. How are you?
I've been circling a fogged in airport for decades. Ask anybody.
Michelle Mertz gives a kick out of it every time I say it to you. So that's why I said it.
I got a quick question for you. I was looking at this the other day, and we were talking about it. A bunch of guys were talking about it over the weekend that I was around, and we were talking about the World Baseball Classic. Yeah. And the consensus is, why? That's not fair. Not why, but why now? That's the better question. Why now, before the season starts? Why not have it in the warmer climates in the southern part of the United States after baseball season has come to an end? That way, if somebody gets, you can have these stars play, and if anybody gets injured, odds are they will have the opportunity to come back before the season starts, not miss the whole regular season even.
Well, I think they're trying to get a bridge between spring training and the regular season to promote the sport and to promote the sport all around the world. And that's what the world, I think, I personally have rarely watched even an inning.
Yeah.
Of the World Baseball Classic, and you know how much I love baseball.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just don't have any real interest in it to me.
That's what I said.
But that doesn't mean other people don't have an interest in it. And I think that's a big part of it, promoting the baseball culture of Latin America, promoting the baseball culture of Asia, and maybe even expanding the culture to other parts of the world that show that baseball can be played in other parts of the world. I mean, I think that's a big part of it. I want to see my team, my city. I think most people feel that way. But, I mean, I think it's fine to do that. Doing it after the season, to me, that's the essence of playing the Pro Bowl.
And I agree with that theory.
At that point, you have people that don't want to do it, especially they've gone through a long season, months and months and months, and now you want me to play more baseball. It's like, no, not coming out of spring training. Okay, you're a little fresher. It's like,
will there be a gap? Will there be a gap between spring training games? See, I didn't think so. I thought they'd continue to play with whatever guys they had.
Yeah, they do, because they need to make evaluations on where players are going in the organization. So those games will continue.
Yeah, I think the only, and I agree with you on all that. I don't think there's a perfect time of year to play it. I would just rather, and I understand the thought about playing at the end of the year and guys not wanting to play because it's over. It's like the NBA drawing players for the Summer Olympics. They always have that question. I just got through with an NBA season. I don't know if I want to go play in the Summer Olympics. But I think there's less risk to baseball, to Major League Baseball, if they play it at the end of the season as opposed to the beginning of the season.
I just think at the end of the season, these guys are worn out.
But I agree with that, too. That's what I said. I don't think there's a perfect answer for it.
You've just spent months and months. Obviously you get to September, it starts to cool down a little bit. Obviously in October it is. But for the most part, you've been playing in heat. You played anywhere from 125 to 145 games. You're like, hey, we're going to go. Hey, you get to go play for your country. Okay, great. All right. There's only so much mileage you can put on arms.
That's another part, too.
Yeah, that's true.
You put so much mileage on arms, too. The arms are fresher at this time of the year, and there are more available on all likelihood at this time of the year.
I think the idea of it is a great idea. I don't mind the idea of it. I just...
I think expanding
baseball worldwide, I think, is a great idea.
Oh, yeah, I don't mind the idea, not in the least. It doesn't mean I have to sit there and go, oh, I love the idea, so I'm going to sit here and watch it. I'm like, tell me when the... I mean, that's just me. Just tell me when the regular season starts and we'll get going here. I think it's... It doesn't mean I don't like the idea, because, you know, the idea is really good. But... I can't even tell you anybody who won any of them.
No, we were talking about that too, and there were about five of us, and not one of us had an answer to that one.
No, because I've never followed it. Like I said, maybe I've seen an inning or two here or there over the years, but that's about it. All right, college basketball, big weekend. It's the final weekend of the regular season for the power conferences. There are conference tournaments going on right now. One quick note on a conference tournament. Antoine Davis ended up 3 points shy of Pete Maravich. Last night, Detroit Mercy was knocked out by Youngstown State, the number one seed in the Horizon. He had 23 points last night. He needed 26 to tie. Now, that doesn't mean, even though they are 14 and 19, it doesn't mean, for example, that his career is necessarily over. What if they decide to pay the $50,000 fee and get into the CBI? They could play. I mean, it's up to them. They could play. And as I said yesterday, before I get to Penn State, if he breaks the record, great. It's an awesome record. Does it take away in any way, shape, or form from the legend of Pete Maravich? No. I mean, Maravich averaged 44 points a game over 3 years. But let's give Antoine Davis credit for, perseverance, being out there all the time, playing through injuries and everything, where now he's in his fifth year. But here's a guy that, if he were to break the record even in the CBI, I'd celebrate it. The reason why is he'd have more points in the history of the game than anybody else. I'm not going to sit there and put asterisks and caveats on it and so forth. We do that too often. When we do something like that, all we're trying to do is knock down the person who had the accomplishment. I'm not into knocking people's accomplishments. All right? I mean, I didn't know Pete Maravich, but Pete Maravich's son says my dad would be rooting for him. It's good enough for me. When I was a little kid, Roger Maris hit 61 home runs. Well, they put an asterisk on it because Ruth hit 60 and Maris did it in 162 games and blah, 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 blah. Who knows? Ruth may not have hit a home run in the last 8 games. I don't know. Nobody knows. It's the most ever. 61. Good. Does it lessen Ruth's legendary status? Of course not. But he's like, a person who's attempting to do something that is great or has never been done before should not have to be tortured by it. It should be celebrated if there's somebody that goes out and does things the right way. Right? And it sounds like Antoine Davis has done everything. Like, it sounds like he does things the right way. And I'll give you an example. You want to know why, and I did mention this yesterday, you want to know why he is 3 points away and not one? Because in the opening round of the Horizon Tournament, he had a breakaway, and they put it, because they were winning, and they put a walk-on in, and he went down the floor in a breakaway, and he made sure he fed the walk-on so he could get a layup. Okay. That's not somebody who's obsessed with themselves. He's thinking of his teammate. Goes back to the original that we talked about, the culture and rooting for everybody. So if they get in the CBI and he breaks it, great. Great. But I thought I'd follow it up to let everybody know that he ended up 3 points shy and their season for the moment seems over unless they want to be in the CBI. Penn State basketball. This is a team that has won four of its last five games. We know the one they didn't win. But three of those wins have been on the road. And they have put themselves in a spot where now Sunday is a critical game for them. Let's start with the basic. I'm not going to get into everything that goes with this because I'll be honest with you, I haven't sat there and looked at everything that goes with it because I'm locked in on just doing Sunday's game. So I'll go with the base meeting of Sunday's game. We'll start with number one. If Penn State wins the game, they automatically are out of Wednesday and they get to Thursday in the Big Ten tournament. That's big for a couple of reasons. And it's not quite the one you think of, even though you would be correct. Like, in other words, that's fewer games that have to win the whole tournament. That's an obvious one. That would be correct if you said that. But there's another part to it, too. If you play Wednesday, number one, that means you lost Sunday. Okay? Now you're really fighting from behind. And winning on Wednesday just gets you to Thursday. It doesn't help you get into the tournament because the team you'll be playing there in all likelihood will not have any net cachet. In fact, you actually may go down in the net by, for example, it might be Minnesota. You might go down in the net by just stepping on the court with them. You have to win the game. It's a, like I pointed out when they went to Minnesota, look, this is a no-lose proposition. You just have to win the game and then go to the next one. And that's what Penn State did. They won the game, and they fell back a couple of spots because walking on the floor with them, that's what happens because their net is so low. I think they're a quad four. And so you have to win that game. Now, when they went to Ohio State, they won that one the very next game. That was a quad one. But just by playing on Wednesday, you're in deep trouble. That means you lost on Sunday. That's one. And number two, you have to win the game. And you're like, okay, they won. All it means is that you won, and now you're going to take another shot. And you're going to do it without any rest. So that's the base. Can you win Sunday, which automatically gets you to Thursday? And you don't have to play Wednesday. As for the NCAA tournament, I know there are a lot of people that are coming up with scenarios of they need X amount of wins to get there. This is always a fluid situation. It's not just what you do. You have to take care of what you can, which means you need to win Sunday. Bottom line. Then the moving parts. Well, I'll give you an example. Last night I had moving parts. Among the moving parts last night, the first game of the night was Illinois-Michigan. Penn State needed Illinois to win. And in overtime, Illinois won. The next game up was UCLA-Arizona State. Not only did Penn State need UCLA to win, but they needed them to do it by a margin. UCLA won by 18. And then last but not least, Penn State needed Purdue to beat Wisconsin because they cannot be tied with Wisconsin in the standings of the Big Ten because Wisconsin owns the tiebreaker. So by Purdue winning last night 63-60, that means Sunday, Penn State is playing to get to Thursday. And then everything that goes with it. So those are the scenarios that I'll at least lay out for you as to what, I mean, look, you take care of your business. There's a lot of stuff surrounding it that has fallen your way. Now you have to make it fall your way. You have to go out and take care of business. The win over Northwestern brought with it a lot of cachet for Penn State. But they've got to follow it up with a win on Sunday. We've seen with the tournament selection committee in the last couple of years, every committee has their own way of doing things and how they evaluate it. But in the last couple of years, they have put exponentially more credit on the regular season than on the postseason tournaments. The regular season has had more power to them than postseason play, postseason tournaments. That's been the pattern with them the last 2 years. The bottom line is, take care of your own business. They have put themselves in a very good position. I won't say great or incredible. I'll say they're in a very good position, but they need to win Sunday. Simple as that. Then after Sunday, we can start figuring out where some things that might happen. Okay? I'm not going to get into things that might happen because there are just too many scenarios and too many moving parts. And to be honest with you, I'm actually only been locked in on the Penn State Maryland game because that's the only thing I can take care of myself as a broadcaster on Sunday. And I know that drives the suit nuts that I feel that way.
I've gotten used to it over the years, and I almost started taking the same view on things. That's when I really have to look at things and analyze my life.
You said almost.
I did say almost. There was a time this year where we were doing a game, and Dave said, "Yeah, but there's a lot of things that have to happen before that." I'm like, "Thanks, Steve. Nice talking to you."
If I can't control it, I don't worry about it. The only thing I can control is what's in front of me and how I describe it. Everything else, I can't control what the committee thinks. I can't control what other teams do. I can't control what Penn State does on the floor. So I don't sit there and worry about it. I just worry about what I can take care of. And that drives you nuts.
Slightly.
I know everybody wants me to say, if they do this and this and this, that's going to happen, that's going to happen, that's going to happen. Well, guess what? If I were to do that, I'd be cheating the audience. You want to know why? Because I can give you some educated guesses, but they'd be educated guesses. That's, you know. But you said I was an educated guess. Well, I stopped doing that a long time ago. All right. We'll take a break. Come back. More in a moment. So we're going to pick basketball games today, right? You know that.
Okay.
Oh no! The King sent his games to pick. Look, just take out the Mark Lawrence dartboard.
That's about what I'd have to do right now. I did no studying.
And just fire away. Oh, what do you think? I do any studying for this? Come on.
You have the games, right?
He sent it, but I didn't look at it.
Okay. Well, good, because I don't have the games. So.
Okay. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet and News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sitting where Matt Cotrillo does every day and thinking the same way he does. The suit, Kevin Herr.
I stopped thinking years ago.
Do we have that on tape?
Unfortunately, yes.
I see a promo. Don't forget to listen to Schickel and Me Football. I stopped thinking years ago.
We always look at each other and go, don't think. It only hurts the ball club. And by the way, this year, I forgot to tell you, we have adopted the, we call it the DJ 21.
DJ 21?
Yes. It's blackjack. And then you follow it up with DJ 21, blackjack.
Yeah, the other night.
We give credit. I heard it. It was awesome. Always give credit, though.
Blackjack. Our broadcast is a little different than others. We know it.
That's 21 points, and that would be blackjack.
Blackjack. Just two guys watching a game. That's what we always say. It's just two guys watching a game. Jack and I do the same thing football. It's two guys watching a game. All right, back next hour.